It is August 23rd, 2026. That means you and I are beginning another episode of Wrestling Observer Live Sunday. My name is Josh Nason, and I thank you for joining me wherever you are on this fine Sunday. Of course, that could be on WrestlingObserver.com. Shout out to all of our subscribers. Could be the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, which includes their website. You can stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Could be iHeart, TuneIn. Could be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, AM stations, FM stations, Tout, MySpace, an extended play, dubbed VHS cassette tape, maybe even YouTube. Anywhere you're listening to the show, I give thanks. As always, a special shout out to those listening on the American Forces Network. We thank you for your service each and every day. I'm with you for the next hour, if you're listening on Sports Byline, the next 37 minutes or so, if you're listening on WrestlingObserver.com, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Time to talk about per usual. We had AEW Collision last night on the road to AEW All In coming up this Sunday from Wembley Stadium. I'm sure you've heard about that by now. Kind of a dull crowd, sleepy crowd in Pennsylvania last night for Collision. We'll talk about kind of that affected some of the matches and really the anti-developments for this Sunday show. I expected a few things for Sunday to at least be hinted, teased, pushed, something, but nothing. But we do have some developments for the Continental Challenge Cup, which again had several different names. Also, we had this weekend Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor happening on Friday. At this point, you know the results. But I did have some thoughts on champions and why they have championship reigns that are way, way, way too long. We also have some developments at WWE. We have TNA Lockdown tonight. We'll talk about how do you make things different when every match is in a cage? More on that. And yeah, a big week ahead in pro wrestling. I'm so glad you're with me. It is Wrestling Observer Live Sunday. Stick around. We'll be right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday with me, Josh Nason, is back. It is fine Sunday, August 23rd here in Northeast. Hopefully you've had a great weekend. A lot of wrestling this weekend. Some UFC as well. Not really that eventful. But certainly eventful on the pro wrestling side. Let's talk about AEW Collision last night. A week from now, friends, depending where you listen to this, AEW All In will be in process or it'll be over. Again, depending on when you're listening to this, afternoon show starting at 1 p.m. Eastern time, of course, in the morning Pacific time, and probably be a 20-hour pay-per-view. So maybe it won't be over by the time you're listening to this. Not much happened last night on Collision, a live Collision from Pennsylvania. I'm trying to remember where it was, but wherever it was last night, it was kind of boring. Just not the in-ring. The in-ring was fine. Good, actually, as it always is. It's always, you know, we don't keep saying it, but I guess I am saying it. It's good. Good to great. But the crowd, man, they really affected that show. And it was just something, a case of it wasn't, for whatever reason, wasn't that exciting of a card. They just didn't really seem to get too much into things. Again, had that great crowd this past Wednesday that were into a lot of things. And yeah, so we had some developments coming up for this Wednesday's Dynamite, of course, from Glasgow, Scotland, which I believe it's a tape delay show because they're not going to air it live anywhere, if I remember right. Try to remember the last time they went overseas and how they did that, but I believe it's going to be a tape show. They'll also tape AEW Collision as well that night. So we have some developments for that show, but we'll kind of start with the semifinal set for the AEW Continental Challenge Cup, which again was called the Continental Cup. There was another name. It just, this does not flow. Too many words. Does not flow. What does flow is some great wrestling. Next week, it'll be Kyle O'Reilly, Claudio Castagnoli, John Moxley, and who else? Who's the other guy? Nigel McGuinness, of course. Boy, complete brain cramp. So Kyle O'Reilly will take on Nigel McGuinness next week. We also will have Claudio Castagnoli take on John Moxley in the semifinals. And the winners of those two matches will move on to AEW All In to compete in the finals for the Continental Challenge Cup. And that will, of course, mean who is the either new or continuing Continental Champion. Word salad right there. So Moxley, Classic Noli, obviously this, the Death Riders thing, this is something they were going to end up at anyway. We had Danny Garcia filling in for Eddie Kingston, or Danny Garcia winning a play-in match on Friday at Death Before Dishonor against Adam Priest, who no one thought was going to win. And then we're moving on to replace Eddie Kingston, who is apparently hurt. He was supposed to take on Claudio last night, so that's a big disappointment. And yeah, so we have Claudio and Moxley, and then we have Kyle O'Reilly take on Nigel McGuinness. The booking here, it works because everyone assumes John Moxley is going to win. So I don't think they're going to go against that, especially on a big pay-per-view. And Moxley against O'Reilly would make a lot of sense. But of course, dumb me, I didn't even really kind of process this until the past week or so. Of course, Nigel McGuinness is going to be in this final at Wembley Stadium in his home country. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he retires after the match. I don't think anyone expects he's going to win, but this would just seem to be the perfect place to do it. And it depends if he wants to keep going. That's one thing, and he could retire the next time they're in England, which I don't know if it's going to be next year or not. But this would seem to be the perfect spot to do it. So I think the chalk pick of Moxley against Nigel McGuinness next Sunday at All In makes a lot of sense. Moxley and O'Reilly, they had that series, of course. So that's kind of the tease. You could do that again, but I just don't think that's going to happen. So that's the development there. The quarterfinal matches were good, and Danny Garcia, it is so interesting. I couldn't help but think last night. You have this. Obviously, the big roster of AEW has been talked to death, but it is this middle class that is only going to get more and more deep, assuming they sign Ilya Dragunov, which I think seems to be a fait accompli, and that's good. That's just adding more and more great wrestlers, but then some guys just aren't getting the work, and Danny Garcia is one of these guys that, oh, he's doing some Ring of Honor stuff and so on, but I just don't think there's any room for him to bloom and flower in AEW at this point. There was that thing a couple of years ago, it might have been 2 years ago. Obviously, he had that weird kind of angle. He basically, his contract was going to be up. And so they had this kind of deal with MJF. You remember this? And MJF essentially took him out, and then Danny Garcia returned. And they never really did anything with it. And part of that was the contract issues and so on. And they didn't know if he was going to resign. And he talked about, Danny Garcia did some interviews, kind of talking about his decision and so on. I keep wondering if he should have made the decision to go to NXT. Would he have been more advanced there than he is here? That I don't know. It's interesting. He's a guy that a lot of people, John Alba especially, John I've known forever, is really, really, really behind Danny Garcia. Like, he believes he could be a next level star. I never really saw that. He's certainly very good in the ring, but he's someone that just needs that a promoter in one of the top levels to believe in him as well. You know, if he went to a TNA, would he get to that level there? He possibly could, for sure. But in AEW and WWE, is that possible? Does he have that next level thing? I don't know if he has that personality, charisma. You know, Jericho tried to bring it out of him with the dancing, and that just didn't seem to fit. But it's there's just something there where he's certainly really good in the ring. That match last night with Claudio was really good. I think both guys deserve credit for that. But I just don't know. You think about guys like this, they're just going to get lost in the shuffle even more when you bring in talents like an Ilya Dragunov, which again, I assume 100% they're going to bring in. And it's hard, man. It's really hard. And you look at guys like Jack Perry, he's got a big match coming up on Wednesday. But yeah, Collision last night was it was interesting too, because we had the women's world title match, which nobody thought Maya World was going to win, taking on Willow Nightingale. And it was a fine match, but it just, you know, Willow won on a backslide. It wasn't even like a definitive kind of victory. And clearly they are really trying to make Maya World a thing. And I keep thinking on the front of, you know, Ring of Honor, Death Before Dishonor, we'll talk more about this in the second segment as well. You remember she lost to Mercedes Moné in the finals, and they cut this interview with Athena almost immediately in the back. and Athena just talking trash about Maya World. And it just said, it like literally was just laid out like, okay, she's clearly going to challenge Athena for her Ring of Honor title. And there's going to be some sort of screw job along the way. It's going to add more heat to it. And my world is going to finally end this 8-year streak, or however long it's been, for Athena. Seemed to make perfect sense. Instead, Athena hasn't really been involved in this, and they have Maya World winning the TBS title, and the match has been like okay, like the four way this past week was good. It's hard to know, you know, to credit her versus all the other women involved. This Willow match was good, but Willow obviously is very good, and it's just I just see this, and she just seems. She's young enough where if you think there's something there, and clearly they do, let it kind of just blossom on its own and let her learn and be a champion in a lesser spotlight. She just had this big title retention win, this big title defense on Wednesday, and comes right back with a loss. I don't think it really did anything for her. And it just was kind of this thing where people already knew the result ahead of time. Mercedes wasn't involved at all. She didn't come out. It was just weird. Almost like they just wanted to give Willow a big win before an eventual loss coming up this Sunday, which I think has a good chance of happening, but we'll see. We'll talk more about that in the next segment. We'll talk more about Bandido and his world title reign, some other AEW things, and things I expected and kind of expect this Wednesday maybe for All In, but we'll see. We'll come right back. Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live, after this. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday. Josh Nason back with you. Thank you for wherever you're listening. For subscribers, I'm going to go a little long today. So for the Sports Byline folks and people listening on Terrestrial, you can always check out the rest of the show on WrestlingObserver.com, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Just search Wrestling Observer. Absolutely free. For subscribers, I think we're going to go... some other non-wrestling things to talk about this week, including the passing of Trevor, aka Rovert, and a few thoughts on that whole situation there. And someone that was well known on X and social media, beloved by some, hated by many, and we'll talk about that a little bit. And also, non-wrestling thoughts on some movies I saw this week. The Odyssey, Spider-Man. I have no one else to talk about this, so I'm going to talk with you. We'll do that after the show ends, so you can check that little extended play edition. Let's go back to AEW from last night. And, yeah, kind of looking ahead to All In and also this Wednesday. One of the things reason I said that nothing happened at the end of Willow and Maya World is... I kind of fully expect some sort of women's gauntlet or something for All In. Because right now, as far as I know, it's the women's world title match and it's the women's tag team title match. And that's it. Not white knighting for the women or anything like that. I just think of their biggest show of the year. It seems odd to have no presence by anyone else. And I don't think you just want to stick people in a pre-show. So something like, I feel like they should do a women's gauntlet, which is fine. And again, last year's, I think three women got hurt. Thunder Rosa, Mina Shirakawa, and I think somebody else got hurt as well. But it's if they are going to add that, I don't know why they're waiting so long. That's kind of why I thought they would tease that last night with some sort of skirmish or brawl. You remember Tekla? The former AEW Women's World Champion is completely off the map, taking, I guess, time off or something. I don't know, but there's been no hint of her at all. Perhaps she makes an appearance at All In somehow in the Women's World title match. I don't know. But you certainly have a lot of women that have nothing to do. A lot of men have nothing to do this Saturday as well. But of course, you have the men's gauntlet. So that was one of the things I was surprised about last night. Was no tease of women's gauntlet. I also think that it's maybe gauntlets, man. Maybe they're just the way to go. I don't know. Because like the trios titles, you have this scene as well where you have all these teams that are kind of like positioning themselves. And you have like five or six teams right now, and even the Bang Bang Gang throwing their hats in the ring last night after their impromptu win on Collision. So what are you going to do? And again, if you do a gauntlet, do you do a traditional style gauntlet? How long could that be? I'm very fascinated to see how they do this. And again, most people assume the New Day is going to debut with Swerve. I also thought it is odd. Where's FTR? Could this just be a case of they're not debuting on Sunday, and FTR is going to be the ones that align with Swerve instead, assuming we keep going this direction, which it would seem to be. I don't think Tony Khan wants to set people up for a disappointment. And the New Day, I think not being there would be one. But it's kind of like, well, how are we doing this? And that's kind of the part of the fascinating thing. But yeah, you have no women's gauntlet yet. You have no trios. You have a trios title defense, but no one knows how that's going to work. I like the fact they seem to finally be really kind of in the mix with getting this trios title division going. It's kind of been one of those things where if you look at the days of the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn holding the trios titles, and we're all kind of wondering like, isn't there more promise here? Isn't there just more to this division than this? And I think we're finally kind of getting that where you have this loaded roster, you gotta have them do some stuff and start leveraging some of these talents. And I mean, it makes sense. They should have like a tournament, a big thing, you know, just there's a way to kind of really get back to that level when you had the Elite and Death Triangle competing for the trios titles. Plenty of talent, plenty of opportunities. You just got thrown the ball and let that happen. So coming up for this Wednesday from Glasgow, Scotland. Actually, I will mention one other thing about two other notes about last night. Then we'll get to Glasgow. So I mentioned women's gauntlet, a trios gauntlet. I was just thinking about kind of things I think. We don't know anything about Lena Cross, right? She just debuted at Grand Slam Australia, and she just started teaming with Megan Bain, and they were dominant, and that's it. We kind of seen her cut promos, but it's interesting. We know kind of this background on all these different AEW wrestlers in some sort of way, right? We don't know anything about Lena Cross other than she's tall, and she and Megan Bain are a dominant tag team. That's it. It's kind of interesting, right? There's no, has she wrestled in a singles match since she's been doing the Divine Dominion thing? I don't think so. But I think knowing more about her would be kind of interesting, would help kind of get that, get that act over a bit. Their dominance is one thing, but yeah, it's just something that kind of stuck in my mind. The other thing, this Hurt Syndicate, Shane Taylor Promotions thing. I don't know if they're supposed to act like they were disinterested or they just were, but man, the Hurt Syndicate came out last night for that that trios match with Lee Moriarty. Man, they just seem completely disinterested. And I don't know if that's supposed to be the gimmick or what, but they win this trios match, and then Shane Taylor cuts his promo after, and you know, the two guys left and Moriarty ended up picking up the win. It's like, you could just do this whole thing with Shane Taylor Promotions if this was the point, right? Hurt Syndicate just seemed like one of these teams that, I mean, it was so hot, but once those stories kind of get out there about them not wanting to do jobs and only work with certain people, and that kind of poisoned the well, I think, for a lot of people. And you can feel it. There was a little bit of we hurt people, not as much as it was like a year ago. The only thing that sticks in my mind is I need to see a Shelton Benjamin versus Kenny Omega match before these guys eventually depart. I got to see it. And I think you need to as well. That was all my thoughts from my Collision last night. Let's go to, this Wednesday. And of course, we have the two Continental Challenge Cup matches I mentioned before. MGF is also going to make an appearance, of course, coming up against head of the Gauntlet. We have Swerve Strickland taking on Jack Perry. Speaking of Jack Perry, another guy that's kind of stuck in the middle. We'll see how that lends itself or leads into whatever Swerve is going to do at All In, which assume is going to be with the New Day, but might not be. Again, where is FTR? The Motors and Machine Guns still not around, even though they're signed. Like, this is their biggest show of the year. It's like there's so much kind of questions about Where is everybody? And also Andrade is going to be on the show this Wednesday. And that's all that's announced as of now. And according to WrestleTix, just under 6,000 tickets are out for the OVO, how do you pronounce it? The Hydro in Glasgow, Scotland. And we'll see kind of what happens there. I'll see more to come. I assume Ospreay and Omega will be on this show. Not a good rating for the show this past week. Could be for a variety of different reasons. And Ultimate could just because it wasn't the overrun did had something to do with the lower rating. But even our Dave Meltzer put in, I think it was 617,000 for the even for the 2 hour. So it was down, but it wasn't down as much if you take out that extra. But as we know, this is Tony Khan's AEW, and this is what he wants to do. And so he's just going to do it. And very fascinating things with all that and the conjecture coming up for next year with the Paramount deal, WBD, and how that affects everything. Very interesting things to come. And again, a very dull crowd last night in Pennsylvania. I think a lot of that could have been because of Death Before Dishonor. It wasn't in the same venue, but I think maybe a lot of the same fans may have gone to both shows. Maybe they're just tired out. Not an exciting show for them, but for whatever reason, was a very sleepy crowd. Speaking of Death Before Dishonor, so I mentioned about Maya World. She should be the Ring of Honor Women's Champ right now. And I think for Ring of Honor, I don't think it does their champions any benefit, especially established ones, to have these super long title reigns. Like, Athena should be full-time in the main roster in AEW. I don't understand, unless it's her choice for some reason, why she's doing the Ring of Honor thing, especially in a time when they need kind of breakout stars, like with Toni Storm out, and just there's this women division really kind of needs a kick. And I think Athena being in that mix would provide that. However, you know, that just doesn't seem to be the plan. She's, I think, 1,200 days, 1,300 days as women's champion. It's dumb. This should be developmental for women like Maya World, Billy Starks, or so on. And this should be where you're really kind of cultivating. It should be like NXT in that you're trying to cultivate this next group that eventually are going to come up. They should be working every week. Nick Wayne should be the Ring of Honor men's champion. Or it should have been somebody else. But, I mean, Nick Wayne should be the Ring of Honor world champion. Should beat Bandido. And if Bandido should have been in this position to begin with, I think he's held the title for well over a year and should be working every single week and just really kind of creating a buzz. It should be like the next generation is down in Ring of Honor and eventually they get called up. That's my hope. That would be great if they did that. I think it would just benefit everyone. Everyone knows Bandido. Bandido should be full-time on the main roster. I mean, he basically is, but this Ring of Honor thing just kind of keeps guys get his hooks in, and I don't like it. I think it really should be younger talent and create some buzz. That way, when they get up to the main group, you know, they can learn, they can make mistakes, they can do all this stuff in a lesser spotlight. And Ring of Honor, as good as the in-ring is on these quarterly specials, you know, this should be the proving ground, pun fully intended, for this next generation. But I'm not going to hold my breath on that. When we come back, we'll look at TNA Lockdown, Ilya Dragunov, and maybe the AEW roster could be changing. More Wrestling Observer Live Sunday, back with Josh Nason in a few minutes. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday, back with you. My name is Josh Nason, contributing editor for WrestlingObserver.com. Hope you've enjoyed the show so far. If you missed any of it, listening on Sports Byline or any of these other different things where you can't rewind, you can check out the show at WrestlingObserver.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or again, a VHS video cassette tape. Anyway, let's get to wrap-ups in AEW. I don't know if there's any WWE to really talk about as of now, but we'll talk about TNA Lockdown as well. A couple other notes about AEW. This Brian Alvarez comment on Wrestling Observer Live took the internet by storm this week. And it was one of those things where it was said and it was kind of a we already know this type thing. And I think that kind of had been brought up by others, and that anything these days seems to be treated as news. Believe me, I understand this better than anyone. And things that were just, the content industry in wrestling and in general is just, exactly. So talking about essentially that he expects, I think it was exact phrasing, you know, a lot of releases. Essentially at TonyCon, you know, he doesn't release people. So we expect a lot of people to be gone from AEW the next, I think he said like 3 months, 6 months, 18 months, something like that. So kind of a duh statement, but I think he, you know, he was just saying it. I don't necessarily think he was told, hey, you know, expect all these people to be gone. But I think we can kind of see the writing on the wall, and we know that people, Tony Khan lets contracts expire. And I've been kind of wanting to do a deep dive into this roster here for some time. We'll do that in another episode, but the, you know, the roster itself, it's large and it's going to grow even more. We expect with Ilya Dragunov, who got his, essentially didn't choose to re-sign. So he is a free agent now. He is tailor-made for AEW. I mean, there's some people who just, they deserve to have the opportunity to wrestle. And I think he is definitely one of them. His style fits in. Is he going to be a world champion? Probably not, but he fits right into that middle class. And I mean, you just can see the matches between him and a Moxley, him and a Mark Davis, him and, you know, just these hard-hitting, really interesting matches, and him being allowed to cook, as the kids say. And that should be exciting. And I mean, look, they signed Tommaso Ciampa. And you wonder, this is brought up by one of our editors in our Slack chat that we have, is does this mean, you know, Sheamus is definitely out? And it's kind of like, well, unless Tony Khan really wants to reunite Claudio and Sheamus again, you kind of wonder, is he interested at this point? Or is he like, look, I got a ton of money in the bank. I'm almost 50. And I want to do my YouTube workout videos and still kind of be in good with WWE, and I don't really need to do this type thing. I don't know if he has that dog in him to do that, to the wrestling aspect of things, and kind of grind like he used to. And that's okay. He's earned the right. He's almost 50. But someone like Dragunov is still in his 30s. I mean, if you had to choose between the two, I think for AEW, I think you pick Dragunov. Again, look at some of the WWE guys that have come over, and you got to work, and you got to be interested in wrestling all the time and going to these small cities and working in front of 2,000 people and so on. Like, it's and you got to meet the expectation of the fans, and we've seen that happen where that's not the case. But I mean, you kind of just look, you know, up and down the roster, and you can find people that we haven't seen in a long time are probably going to get cut or not brought back. You look at the Max Caster, for example, his contract is up later this year. That came out a few months ago. Actually, it might have been this month. And I mean, he's not been around. That seems to be done. Anthony Bowens probably is one of those guys. Anthony Ogogo. I'm just kind of going in order here. And we'll do something at some point. But guys like Wardlow, who is always injured, and I think he hasn't wrestled in a match in almost 2.5 years. You look at the Britt Baker saga, you know, at some point that has to end contractually. It's just one of these strange, it harkens back to Brawl Out in terms of just the, everyone's asking questions and these really vague answers, and it doesn't do anybody any good. So you have a lot of that. And yeah, you can look up and down this roster and see people that have not been used or just, the run is over. So it shouldn't come as any surprise that, of course, some of these contracts are going to expire in the next few months, really 18 months, you know, one of these things that just got to be, think about the quote before it becomes like big news, right? But yeah, it really harkens back to, you know, the sentiment I've had before that you need a strong, independent, third, domestic, U.S.-based promotion in wrestling. It'd be better for everyone. And TNA has the partnership with WWE, but they, an independent, you know, a company that made a lot of money, had a great TV deal, all that would be great. Easier said than done, right? Women's of Wrestling seems to have one. just kidding. But, you know, with TNA, I think that's the thing that they should, I wish they were in the position to make some of these big free agent splashes to be like, no, we're going to put in a big bid for Ilya Dragunov and make him a big star here. And have people, have fans having the confidence saying, oh yeah, that'd be great. But that's just, it's not going to happen. There's the affiliation with WWE. And then there's also this thing, they just don't seem to have this big budget. And I don't know, they're doing this new TNA VIP thing. you know, they're trying some new things, but there's this reality of where they are in wrestling right now. And I'm telling you, man, a strong number three would be really good. And these other promotions, just they can't get to that level and get people to take them seriously at that point. And I don't know, is it possible? Is it kind of like the political system in the U.S.? You can only have two parties. Maybe that's the way people think. I don't know. Speaking of TNA, let's look at TNA Lockdown tonight, emanating from Chicago, Illinois. No CM Punk on this card, I don't think. But there'll be plenty of other action from Chicago. And yeah, it's TNA Lockdown. So this means, of course, every single match in a steel cage. They have not done this for a few years. I believe the last one was on regular old TV. And so the question, and I've never booked a show, so I can't tell you this, but how do you make all the matches different if every match is in a cage? Because there's an expectation of violence and blood, but if you do that in the first three matches, it's going to make what happens in the last three feel less important. So we'll start right from the top. We have, Joe Alonzo versus the Hometown Man. This was added on Saturday, an AAW heavyweight title match. Joe Alonzo to defend against the Hometown Man. This is on the pre-show. I assume they're not lowering the cage. So I think this will probably be in a cage as well. You also have, of course, I believe the main event tonight is the TNA Tag Team Champions, Matt and Jeff Hardy, defending against Ryan and Nick Nemeth. We kind of know what that'll be just by the Hardys being involved. X Division Champion Cedric Alexander defending against Leon Slater in a last man standing bout. So have they done last man standing in a cage before? Have we seen that? I don't know. Kind of interesting. So maybe that's a little bit of a twist. You have, of course, that's a stipulation where if Slater loses, his TNA X Division title reign will be erased from history. You won't even remember it. Men in Black, mind wipe, done. I don't mind that because it's such a ridiculous stip and this is pro wrestling. A lot of people hate that. I'm fine with it. It's just, it's, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. Of all things complained about, you know, we have AJ Francis versus Elijah, a match that doesn't really need to be in a cage. We have Allie and a mystery partner defending the Knockouts tag team titles against the Elegance brand, Heather and M by Elegance. That doesn't feel like it needs to be in a cage. Of course, Rosemary got hurt in an indie show. It's going to be out for some time. So we're now past the point of, and we have in all promotions, it seems like, we need, when a tag team partner gets hurt, that's a champion, you just swap somebody else in. That seems to be the accepted rules of wrestling now. And that's going to happen here. A mystery partner aligning with Allie. We also have TNA International Champion Jason Hotch defending against Mustafa Ali. Of course, Hotch picking up surprise win over Ali earlier this month. We have Moose versus Frankie Kazarian in their Escape the Cage rules. That's a little bit different there. We have Zaya Brookside defending the TNA Knockouts title against Elena Black. I expect that to be bloody, especially for Elena Black. I just have this feeling. We also have a Lethal Lockdown match. So this is kind of the War Games-esque style rules. So that's a little bit different. That's good. Eddie Edwards, Bear Bronson, Brian Myers, and Alicia Edwards against Ricky Sosa, Casey Navarro, Jada Stone, and Fabian Aichner. If you had told me in January you were going to have a team of Ricky Sosa, Casey Navarro, Jada Stone, and Fabian Aichner in a Lethal Lockdown match on a pay-per-view, I would have said, what? This is kind of where we're at. What a strange foursome there. And also on the pre-show, we have Trey Miguel versus Agent Zero and the Righteous, Vincent and Dutch, of course, taking on Rich Swann and BDE. Again, I don't know if it's a lower the cage situation. It would be nice. I mean, if you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 matches in a cage, you're going to completely desensitize this crowd. But I'm fascinated to see how that turns out. So this'll be happening on TNA Lockdown. Coming up on Sunday, we'll have a full recap of that show, of course, on Wrestling Observer Radio after this show, late Sunday night here for subscribers and so on. And yeah, we have we'll get to the preview and such in the next segment. But yeah, I was trying to think. I wanted to give kind of equal time to WWE. There really isn't a ton of WWE stuff. We had Blake Monroe challenging Bayley show up on SmackDown next week. So maybe Bayley's not done after all. I think that's going to be pretty intriguing and so forth. I think Bayley should leave myself. I think they're, I keep thinking back to Natalya. I really think Natalya should have left WWE for at least like 2 years when her deal was up, just to get the praise and go wrestle around the world, Stardom, wrestle in CMLL, wrestle for AEW, wrestle, you know, just really get the praise for being a great character. I think this MMA character is awesome, but they just don't get behind it as much. And it drives me crazy. She's talented. And this is like, you know, as good as she is, age catches up with everyone. I think leverage her as much as you can now. And Bailey, I hope she, I want to say, makes the same mistake, because I'm sure Natalya's getting paid and she's happy and so on. She made that choice. But I think Bailey deserves a run outside WWE to get the flowers, do what she wants, and you can always go back. If CM Punk can go back, Bailey could go back. Right? She'll get her Hall of Fame induction 10 years from now, whatever it is. Like, go have fun. Go do some stuff, Mercedes Moné. Again, wrestle just all over the place. And go have fun. Make some money doing it and do something a little bit different. Challenge yourself. And I mean, this Lodestone thing is great. And I think there's something there, you know? And she had this quote, you know, I believe in women's wrestling, continue to fight for it. She did that inside WWE or outside, but I really just, I think for her sake and a nice final run and do something different outside, I think would be something she would look back on fondly. That's all I'm going to say on that. Of course, Little Yachty is going to be making his WWE in-ring debut on Sunday night's main event. So Sunday night's main event coming up again, a week from today, right? But Sunday night's main event's like 2 weeks after. This schedule is like, it is just crazy. Absolutely crazy. September 6th. And look, we've had celebrities wrestling before. We'll have them again. He's got this billing to live up to now. The Bad Bunnies, the Logan Pauls, the Jelly Rolls, and so on that actually have put the work in. So we'll see what Lil Yachty has. But we have a long time to go for here and then. When we come back, we'll preview the week ahead. A big week for AEW and wrestling in general. We'll wrap it all up. Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live, back in a minute. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday, Josh Nason. A lot to get to this final segment as we look at the week ahead. Of course, tonight, TNA Lockdown coming from Chicago, Illinois on pay-per-view. Monday, we have Raw, which is Stephanie Vaquer making her return to the ring after a long injury absence, taking on Roxanne Perez. We have the finals of the You're Going to Get Beat by Roman Reigns tournament. Penta taking on La Parca and Ray Phoenix versus Dragon Lee. So it appears that Penta versus Ray Phoenix match, which several weeks ago, I'm like, oh, maybe this is going to go this way. Oh, they're not going to. It looks like they are. Can you imagine that? Wow. Penta versus Ray Phoenix. That'd be awesome. I hope. Obafemi versus Braun Breaker, the contract signing for Sunday night's main event. On Tuesday, we have the AAA Cruiserweight title online. Ray Phoenix himself defending against EK Prosper. If allowed to go, that could be awesome. EK Prosper is legit. Zarya versus Kali Armstrong. If Armstrong wins, she's added to a title unification match, making a three-way at Heatwave. And Chikan Sugars against Deion Lennox in a weaponized steel cage match. Yikes. AEW Dynamite, we talked about that earlier. Swerve versus Jack Perry. Nigel McGuinness versus Kyle O'Reilly. John Moxley versus Claudio Castagnoli in the Continental Challenge Cup semifinals. MJF appearance, Andrade El Idolo appearance. Then we have on Thursday, of course, we have Wednesday Dynamite. Thursday, the fallout from Death Before Dishonor for Ring of Honor, the fallout from Lockdown for TNA Impact. And then we have on SmackDown, Blake Monroe challenging Bayley to show up. And there was also another match as well, which is not in my notes, so we'll move on. Saturday, of course, we have AEW Collision, AAA on Fox. We don't know what's going to happen there. And then Sunday, the big one. We have AEW All In. We have a AAA show going head-to-head at noon. And we have Heatwave going on at 3. Four-way main event, Tony D'Angelo, Zilla Fatu, Grayson Waller, and Cruz Montana. I do not know what we're going to do for Wrestling Observer Live next Sunday, because it's going to be going on as the show is going to go on. So I don't really know. We'll talk more about that at another time. For subscribers, more to come after this. For all of our Sports Byline listeners, this has been Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason. We'll talk to you soon. Okay, subscribers, or Wrestling Observer listeners, Spotify, Apple, it's me, Josh Nason. Extended listen. Jim Valley sometimes does these for Wrestling Observer Live Saturdays, and I kind of like that. So maybe we'll go a little bit extra a couple times if there's more stuff. 3 head-to-head shows on Sunday. I've already had to clear the schedule in the afternoon with the wife for that Sunday. But yeah, AAA, All In, and Heat Wave, essentially going almost head-to-head-to-head. And it's a busy day for our site, and that we'll be doing posts and live coverage and all that. And we'll see kind of what news breaks in addition to everything in between. But that'll be a busy day. It's a fun day, though. You get to watch wrestling and write about it. That's a dream. So the passing of Rovert, Trevor, he was a longtime subscriber. He was banned from our message board. He was a subscriber until the very end. I was told that the other day. And yeah, he was, I didn't want to really kind of talk about that much on the Wrestling Observer Live show for Sports Byline and everything, because a lot of people probably don't know who this is that listen to that maybe. But it was a weird feeling. I was thinking about, because I got the news, as we all did the other day, and it was kind of one of those things you kind of marinate on a little bit. And you look at some of the reaction and so on. He was obviously a very polarizing personality, to say the least. Either you were in good with him or not in good or somewhere in between, or sometimes that tended to fluctuate. He and I were always fine. We follow each other on X, and we had some, I was looking at like DM interaction. We hadn't DM'd in like 4 years, and it was about just minor, kind of minor things. But he was always this kind of this ombudsman for a lot of people that commented on wrestling. Some people that kind of fell out of favor in wrestling. And I heard the phrase usually he could smoke out people that were being disingenuous, being fake pretty quickly. But he also had a ton of detractors and a lot of people that are very happy he's passed away, which is kind of a weird thing, but people can think how they're going to think. I'm really in the middle. I think what has fascinated me about this is how normalized we have become to caring about people and thinking about people and talking about people we'll never meet in real life. And I don't know of anyone that met Trevor in real life. I'm sure someone did. But you know what I mean? Like, it's not a figure that's, he didn't do a podcast, or he didn't, you know, like, it wasn't these type of things. And these people that we get to know through social, especially in this wrestling social media bubble that so much of us live and evolve in and stay in. And this is like this in any other niche form of entertainment, or you find fandom. Like I'm a big fan of Boston sports and the Red Sox primarily. And Red Sox, it's funny. There's this bubble in there as well. And you have some people like, oh, did you see what so-and-so said about this? I'm like, who is this person? And the person has like, you know, 8,000 followers, and they're just a fan, but just because they're constantly tweeting about stuff or calling other people out, or they kind of live in that culture, which isn't really healthy, I'll say that much. But we'll never, people you rarely will ever, or if ever, meet, but you have a connection to somehow because you see them and you see their name almost on a daily basis if you go into social media. So I kind of thought about that a lot. I was actually at the gym, and it just kind of hit me. I was thinking about that, and I did an X search of his handle, and there's still people, as I'm recording right now, in past like a couple hours, still chatting about him and chatting about the chatter about this. And I saw, I think it was Joe Gagne or someone might wrote that he, when he was trending, kind of in the X trending thing, that the AI summary that, you know, people celebrate, or like basically got talking about Rover. He's like, I think you would have get a kick out of this, and I think you probably would have too. But yeah, he's passed away. Wrestling, voice of wrestling, did really. Rich Kraich, who's been on my old show a lot, had some kind things to say about how his influence helped voices of wrestling kind of really take off. And that was fascinating. I had no idea about that. That was really well written and some insight. So you're going to see a lot from either side. We are polarized as a society, and I think you kind of have to get used to that, as unfortunate as it is. But name a dirt sheet, Robert. Name a dirt sheet. Gone far too early. I found, I was just thinking, like, there's this clip that circulated from, it's on YouTube, when Brian talked about him being kicked off the board. It is weird. Like, you go back and listen to old Observer Radios or Observer Lives or Figure Four Dailies or whatever, how different Brian's voice sounds. It's almost like someone's a puppet. They're mocking Brian's voice. It's so weird. And I used to do shows with him back in when I first started, 2012, 2013, something like that. And like, I hear him today and you kind of just flow with it, but it's jarring when you go back and listen to old Brian radio. It's funny. It's really, really funny. It's a weird sound. Did see two movies this week, which was The Odyssey and Brand New Day, back-to-back days. The Odyssey had just been pulled out of the IMAX theaters in our area, but we did get to see it on a very big screen, ADX or something like that. It was some other, like, basically large format bullshit where you had to pay, like, you know, a little bit extra, but whatever. So like a Monday morning, my wife's a teacher, and she's about to go back to school. And so we took advantage of one of her last kind of like full days off to go to the movies. And she's someone who likes to kind of move around a lot. And, you know, I had no idea if we're going to make it through 3 hours or how many times she would get up. She stayed for the whole thing. Loved it. I loved it as well. I thought it was it was as advertised, entertaining. I don't know a lot about The Odyssey at all. My daughter, though, who is 9, listens to the podcast Greeking Out, and she has been listening to that. In third grade, they did a Greek mythology section or something like that, and she really got into it. Something connected. And so I remember we're kind of just starting to introduce her podcast. She was really like the same one over and over and over again, said, "We like Greek mythology. How about this?" Of course, immediately she's like, "No, I don't want to listen to this." And it's like, okay. And eventually she started listening to it. Good job, Dad. And she really enjoys it, to the fact that, you know, we talked about it, went to the movie and we were talking about it, said, you know, it's you're still way too young. It's way too intense for a 9-10 year old at this point. Been a couple of years. It'll be fun to watch it with her. And she started asking questions about this character, this character, this character. And then she basically told the whole movie to me through her questions. And I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't talk to this beforehand. She would have spoiled the whole thing. But it was entertaining. I think really well done. This is the reason that movies exist. The same for Brand New Day, the next day, the Spider-Man movie, which was excellent. I don't really remember talking about this. I was a huge comic collector fan all through my youth, all the way through almost present day. I haven't bought anything in a while. I just sold my collection. Actually, Jeff Moss, who writes for our website, he was involved in comics for worked in the industry, I think, for over a decade. And so we're talking about some stuff on side, because I know he had sold the collection, most of his as well. And so we were Spider-Man has been my favorite character since I was a kid. To the point I would steal toys from other kids' houses. That was Spider-Man. That's how I learned the kind of the difference between right and wrong early on, that I wasn't supposed to do that. But I finally saw it, and I'm not a big, I don't know about you, I don't like watching movies in big crowds, not because of the crowds, but because you can't control how people are going to act or talk. I hate when people talk in the theater. Phone, especially, you know, young kids, younger people, like, I sound a million years old saying that, but it just, you're really excited to see a movie and then somebody ruins it because they don't have etiquette, and it drives me crazy. So I will usually go, I'll stay away from spoilers as best I can. I did that with this, with Brand New Day. And I go usually like a week or two after, to the extent that I can. And I've had pretty good success with that. And I loved it. I went on a Tuesday night, and it was one of these, actually a cheaper Tuesday, but again, it was a rumble seats in the theaters. So I paid extra, but I didn't care. I loved every minute of it. It was so great. So much fun. I think I'm going to go see it again Tuesday with another friend of mine who I usually go with, but he had seen it. He wants to go see it again. How often does that happen, right? Where you go to the movies and see the same movie multiple times. But yeah, between The Odyssey and Brand New Day, what a two huge, Tom Holland, two huge windfalls for him. Anne Hathaway's had a really good movies run this year after kind of being off the map for a couple of years, it seems. And yeah, this is the reason that movies should exist. And if you really kind of get in the weeds with the Paramount WBD stuff, and everything, kind of this fight for Hollywood, is that it's fun to go to the movies. It is expensive. It is expensive as shit. I know that. And I mean, I remember I took my daughter, her friend, and my wife to a movie, like a kid's movie at some point last summer. And it was like $40, $50 for four of us to go. And then you get the popcorn, all that stuff. It's like, it's crazy, right? Everything is so expensive. You've heard this a billion times. I'm sure your bank accounts get hit the same way mine do. But it's a great experience when you go see the movies, and I love it. I absolutely love it. I hope it never goes away. The fact that I'm even saying that in 2026 sucks. And but go support the movies when you can. It's tough to get out. Go to the cheap Tuesday night theaters if you can. You can find bargains around. You can buy discount tickets and things like that. But, you know, I hope that tradition never dies, because, man, it is so much fun. So much fun. I can't wait to for the next ones. And it's always kind of fun to kind of look ahead. I watch a lot of TV shows other than pro wrestling and MMA. Usually I'm a night owl, so usually I'm up to 11:30. And I will check out a lot of stuff. That's why I love kind of shorter TV shows, because you can get in a lot more. We just finished, in fact, I've not ever shared this, and because you're my friends, I'm going to share this with you. I've been doing like a side project I started this year called shouldyouwatch.tv. Should you watch TV? Shouldyouwatch.tv. Very easy, rolls off the tongue. And I'm kind of like doing non-spoiler previews, and kind of like, in a way, like trying to find shows that maybe some people haven't watched. That's kind of the idea. I got to get rolling with it. But I've done a bunch of these already. And basically, like, someone's like, oh, I've heard of that show. What's it like? And maybe they need a recommendation. They need a suggestion. I'm like, okay, that's what I kind of designed it for. So I do like, how long, you know, how many episodes is it? When did it come out? Stars you would recognize? What's the premise? And what's your total commit time? And ultimately, should you watch it, based on my opinion, comparable shows and all that. So you can check out one. It's kind of still in the beta format, but should you watch TV if you're so inclined? And I did one on Sugar, which is a show on Apple TV that was just finished up in its second season. I really enjoyed it. It is, if you've seen, it's one of those you can talk about to extent, but there's a big reveal in season one that I didn't see coming. And so I do a good job not to say anything about it. I won't say anything about it here, but I thought season two was really good as well. What did we also finish? House of the Dragon, which, my hemming and hawing, it's no Game of Thrones. It's entertaining in spots, but I just don't find it nearly as interesting as Game of Thrones was. And Game of Thrones, it is a tragedy that the last season was as bad as it was, because it was on the precipice, an all-time go back and watch type show. And I think sometime I will, but that last season was so frustratingly bad. It's incomprehensible. Like, it deserves its own documentary. House of the Dragon is it just doesn't, the action scenes are good, but I don't care about any of the characters at all. Flip side, Game of Thrones, Night of Seven Kingdoms, that awesome, fantastic Game of Thrones show. And we're going to have a lot of these, I'm sure, for it's all said and done, as we always do. But yeah, this kind of views on House of the Dragon. I can do it. Should you watch on that, Dutton Ranch? Yes, big Sheridan verse fan. That was very good, very entertaining season. We are finishing up. What are we watching now? Ted Lasso. We're back into that season four. First two episodes, they're fine. That last third season, I thought was not great, especially finale. I thought was pretty bad. Of course, we thought that was going to be it. I remember kind of thinking, this is kind of just a letdown. So now they're doing this fourth season. I don't know. I think they really want to stay in that Ted Lasso business and universe, but I don't know. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. And then also Lioness, I'm watching that, another Sheridanverse show. And we got to get back into The Pit. We started watching that while we were on vacation, really liked it. And then other shows just kind of get in front of it. So we got to get back in that, because they just announced season three, I believe, is coming out in January. So we got to catch up and do some things there. What are you watching? Let me know. Hit me up on social or the board, or I do a thread for this show on Sundays on the TV and radio section. So hit me up there if there's a show that you, maybe a show that you're like, I don't know if I should watch this. Can you do a should you watch about this? You know, if I've seen it, I've seen, like, I'm looking at my Google Doc here. I got like 200 some odd shows I've watched. But yeah, there's a lot coming up. Yeah, Ted Lasso, Lanterns. Yeah, Lanterns, I got to start with that this week. Reacher, I'm going to start season four of that this week. If you've watched Reacher, And you saw the last season where they're in Maine. As someone that was born in Maine and spent the formative years of my life there, more than 20 years, we don't talk that bad. It's this just amalgamated bad Massachusetts accent. There are some down easters that kind of have an accent, but not as bad as that. Just going to keep that in mind. But yeah, I think that's about it for this extra. At some point, maybe we'll do question and answers. If you guys have stuff you want to talk about, I know it's a lot of random things, but yeah, I think that'll wrap it for Sunday. Thanks so much for joining Wrestling Observer Live, this WOL extra, and we'll see you next time. Thanks.